Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
No one likes them, but they don't care. They've got the bark and the bite, or should I say, roar. So come down to the den, if you dare. It's the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport, with seven of the best for your chance to win £1 million.
Good evening, this is Love Sport Reddit. Harry, come on, don't crash my links again, man. With your big-headed headphones and your funny-shaped headphones. Don't do that. You've been back here a week. You're not even back. When was he last here?
Ages ago. I can't remember last time I saw Harry here.
Yeah, I've retaken my boss's chair. I apologise.
Exactly. Pipe down. Good evening. It's Love Sport Radio with your Millwall Fan Show. My name is Aaron Paul. Joining me, got like a full cohort here tonight as well. It's international break. Yeah. But do you know what? We're serious as ever. We do the bizzo on a Friday night, don't we?
We try, don't we? Because it's a very special event at the moment. It's 30 years since the golden year of 1988. We got promoted to Division 1. And in October, I think it was, we beat QPR to go top of the league. And some of us kept the league table from the News of the World the next day.
That's impressive.
I've probably still got it somewhere.
Mm. You're just like a cutting somewhere.
It was a big moment.
Next to Jim MacDonald returns to Coronation Street.
I miss Jim.
He's back on there now.
Is he?
Yeah. I love Jim MacDonald. Elizabeth. Elizabeth. Everyone else calls her Liz. Call her Liz, mate. No, Elizabeth. Right, okay. Can I just say, before we kickstart this show properly, good evening, Nick. Good evening, Sam.
Good evening,
Harry.
Evening.
But good evening also to those listening at Millwall Football Club who have copied idea for a curry night during the week. Because I was given notification this week that Millwall Football Club are having a curry night during... is it the Wigan game?
Yeah, the Tuesday.
Wigan at home.
It is, yeah. 23rd of October, yes.
It's curry night. Basically. It's just plagiarism. It's sheer plagiarism. So what I want you to do is either send a VAT this way towards Love Sport HQ, or just, you know, out yourself at our own curry night, which is happening...
Saturday. Next Saturday. Reading, away.
Yeah, I've got a slight issue with that.
Another night then.
Can I just say though, last time I saw you was just before West Brom, and you told me about their curries, and West Brom did a lovely curry.
I would admire
that. Thank you for that, Aaron. I expected a pie, but I got a curry.
I'm going to take a punt. The Millwall Curry Night has been conducted by Curry Den, who are on the Blue Anchor Lane, aren't they? Around on the blue round there. They used to sponsor the corners, Curry
but
Den.
Let's hope it's going to start to hot.
I'm not sure how good a curry it was, but they used to do a mean corner.
Chicken corner.
Chicken corner.
There you go. You could have that. But you know what? We're in better spirits here tonight because of that 3 points. I mean, tell us what it was all about.
It's a weight off of our shoulders. It's been a tough season so far, I think it's fair to say. It's been hard. And, you know, the win when it finally came was a huge relief to us all. I think there was a real sense when the Rocking All Over the World gets played at the end of the game that there's this celebratory moment. It was like we'd won something. It was just like a win.
A real sense of relief. I mean, the point in midweek against Nottingham Forest was huge, but it was a point, you know. Mm. And to follow it up with a win, and especially back at the Den, just showed that perhaps we have turned the corner. I mean, Neil came out on the Wednesday night and said, what I've built in 3 years is not broken in 5 weeks. But I was worried. You know, recent performances...
Everyone was.
Yeah. It's been hard. It's been tough. Heads are down. We were talking about finding this formula. And somehow, on Saturday, against Aston Villa, it worked and it clicked. Now, Harry, what did you think? What was it that you felt really changed the Millwall performance?
I think, as you said, the Forest point was like a win. When Millwall were 2-0 down, I mean, we're normally the side that throws away a 2-goal lead away from home, really, if we're being honest. When was the last time you saw Millwall score 2 goals to get back into a game? It doesn't happen very often.
I can't remember. Long while ago.
Yeah, so...
Does anyone ever feel confident when Millwall were 2 goals up, by the way?
No.
The last time I felt confident of us being more than 2 goals up, I think John Barnes was manager of Tranmere and we were 4-0 up inside like 20 minutes. I think Henry was playing for us. And
McAteer was his right-hand man, wasn't he?
Oh, it was bad.
Yeah. It was so bad. Do you hear the story about when they got sacked? And apparently they had to cycle out the car park or something like that.
It was like a hate mob outside.
It was just, well, no, I think like, you know, they'd filled one of the cars with like too much stuff from like the office.
No.
And like one of them had to cycle out or something. It was a nut story. An absolute nut story. Right, it says here on our running order, piano off our backs.
Piano off our backs. Famous story about Teddy Sheringham. We're going to go back to 1988 for momentarily. A famous insult from the crowd was, you're playing with a piano on your back, Sheringham. And because he was so slow. And ever since then, for me, whenever we've got a bad time, we've got a piano on our back. Teddy Sheringham's piano is on our back. And that got thrown off the weight of the piano. Steinway piano. Got thrown off of us last week because the performance at Forest... That was worth the win. Just the way, even if we'd come away with nothing, the performance up there was so, you know, promising. We took that into Saturday. And I must admit, I had a bit of the heebie-jeebies when Villa scored inside the opening 10 minutes. Soft old goal to concede.
Oh, I mean, in the WhatsApp group, everyone was a bit panicky, weren't they?
Yeah. Well, of course. Was you panicky? Did you see the 2-1 comeback?
Yeah, I didn't think Villa were that good. I just thought they had one chance and they took it, which is the level of quality they have. I mean, if you looked at their bench, it was ridiculous. It was like
70 million.
Yeah, exactly,
on the bench.
Compared to us with our little Tom Bradshaw, who might never play.
And he scored a couple of goals today in the under 23s.
He did, but so did Sid Nelson, was a world beater at under 23 level. And Ian Holloway finished that in sort of one afternoon against Ipswich. But they, you know, I didn't get the crisis. I've been a Neil Harris supporter in the sense that I know we all are, but, you know, he's not a charlatan. He's not an Ian Holloway. He's not going to come in and talk well. Neil says the same thing after every game because he's honest. He's not going to lie. He's not going to change his ethos because we've lost, as he said, lost 5 games, 6 games. Yeah, things needed to change. It wasn't going to be a complete... We're not going to suddenly start knocking the ball around like Barcelona. One, we can't do that. And two, I don't really think we're the crowd for that. You know, we're not going to accept that.
But what you just said there, obviously Aston Villa went into Saturday without a manager. And what I liked about the Forest game was that 10 minutes into the game, they were cheering, there's only one Neil Harris. Mm. We've been in such a bad run of form, but what does that say about the club and the respect and the belief that the fans have?
It's been mental health week.
And
what it says is the Mill crowd collectively suffer with bipolar conditions.
It's Friday night, Zig, it's after 9 o'clock, we can do that.
And Zag. And Zig and Zag. People can't see what I'm doing, can they?
But any other club, they would not be cheering for a manager that was in a form like that. And I think that just shows.
Yeah, they would. Of course they would.
No.
Yeah.
No.
No cabbages coming out.
Jose Mourinho's. Yeah, but Villa fans are a bit.
There were one or two.
I'm surprised they won a kebab. They threw at him.
There were sour remarks online.
Is there good kebabs up there?
You know.
What? Where? Villa?
Villa.
Well, no, but Steve Bruce. Don't you see the video of Steve Bruce in the kebab shop?
No.
Yes.
Everyone's seen
fantastic.
It.
Fantastic.
I've learned something new.
Let's get it right.
A tracksuit, ordering a kebab after training, like full kit. tracksuit.
Fork it.
Neil Harris has got a deep, deep credit with their support. So, you know, I think there were sour remarks. There were question marks over his tactical.
Plus, he don't like kebabs or cabbages.
I don't know about that.
God knows what they're throwing him down there.
But, he's more than any other manager, he's got a deep credit. And I can't think that, you know, certainly Lomas and Holloway were not given... Actually, Holloway got away with quite a bit for some time, but
yeah, he got more time than Steve.
Lomas was always going to have something on his back because of,
well, from the very moment he was appointed.
The West Ham, poor Steve Lomas.
The famous bed sheet has hung over the gates telling him what to do.
I mean, I've still got the text on my phone. We were 2-0 up against Bournemouth, and I sent a text to my dad who didn't come, and I said, we're just like Brazil. And within the time it took me to type it out, send the tweet, and send the text, and by the time it actually left me with sort of, you know, how you get signal at football matches, we'd conceded 3 goals. So we're not quite Brazil under Lomas, we're more like sort of Boston.
Barnsley.
Soft goal to give away, we made a comeback from that. Heads would have gone down previously, and that's what really struck me. It's character to dig deep.
Definitely, against the side, a Villa side that, you know, you spoke about the bench, you spoke about the sort of players they've got, and it does show character, and it could have been an absolute disaster on Saturday, but Millwall did come back, and I think that's the character. The heads didn't drop, they kept going, grinded out the win, and you felt when the equaliser went in, the ground just erupted.
And it erupted.
Unlike tonight in the England game, where it's a ghost with no fans on there.
It's not
black. The Den really did get behind the players and become away with 3 points. So have we turned the corner?
Maybe, just maybe. We're going to be talking more Millwall next. Looking through a few unsung heroes, maybe a few forgotten men. It's Croatia 0, England 0. Croatia have just gone close with a shot that's just gone wide of Jordan Pickford's post. Not very many goals tonight. I don't know if you've taken a look.
How's San Marino getting
on? They're losing 2-0 to Moldova. Moldova away. I mean, have you ever been to Moldova away?
Tough away fixture.
I quite fancy trying to get in the San Marino first team. I don't know what you have to do.
Gibraltar.
To do it.
You do well at Gibraltar.
I reckon there's a job for me there.
It's all in pounds over there as well.
That's all right. It's a Marks and Spencers at
exactly.
Gibraltar.
Belgium 1, Switzerland 0. They've broken the deadlock over there. Romelu Lukaku with the goal for Belgium. Belarus 1, Luxembourg 0. 0-0 everywhere else. But yeah, we'll come back. We're talking more Millwall next. Yeah, this is your Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. If you listen to us on Monday morning, then morning, I hope you have a great week, or Sunday, because this goes out as a podcast, obviously, but we have many listeners from many walks of life.
Diverse cross-section
of
society.
If you actually think it is a German Millwall podcast, then Guten Tag, because it could be a German Millwall podcast. We don't actually know. Let's talk Shane Ferguson, the return of the Mac.
Return of the Mac, return of the Ferg. Where was
Fergie
he?
Time.
He disappeared without trace, didn't he? Like the Titanic.
He did.
Beneath the waves. And then he came back up again.
Fergie-licious.
Refloated.
Fergie-licious.
He was refloated. And, no, I mean, all joking aside, I mean, you said he played well in the Fulham game, Harry, didn't you?
Yeah.
I wasn't there for that one. But, you know, I just thought he did well at Forest. He gave us width. He put the crossing in, which, you know, the likes of Elliot, we're going to talk about Tom Elliot later, but they shine when the crosses come in, when he gets the service. And I just say hats off to him, because
he was ready
in the
summertime.
He could go on loan, get the bus, go.
He hasn't been involved
at all. It does, and then rewarded with the starting again on Saturday. I think if he hadn't have started on Saturday against Villa, there would have been uproar, because he brought energy, he brought that balance. I think that's a good word there, Harry. But I really thought, you know, Jed being suspended, Neil had to ask people to step up, and Fergie did in a big, big way.
He's starting tonight for Northern Ireland as well.
Is he?
Yeah.
He achieved the accolade of his own Twitter account, or the parody
boring
account.
Boring
Ferguson. I think they always think that's a moment when you achieve that, isn't it?
But how hard must it be to be waiting for your opportunity, sitting on the bench, and then you finally get a chance? You've got to make it count.
Is it
down to character?
Yeah,
I think he's proven his character. He's actually, you remember Dave Livermore used to just get abuse whenever he played, and then if we missed him in the midfield, in that sort of era that he was there, we'd go missing. Bertrand wouldn't be able to do it. Stephen Reid couldn't do the job that Livermore done. But if you were watching the game, you wouldn't be able to say what he did. But he obviously was doing something.
It's a Jimmy Abdu role.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, the breaker up, the man that messes the midfield about. But I mean, Ferguson. Ferguson's done well. He's come back. Huge character. To dig that deep and be so far out of contention. Wasn't even on the bench half the time, was he?
No, he wasn't. He was not. You know, his name wasn't heard for a while, and we all thought, oh, what's going to happen? And, you know, at Forest, he had a massive impact, and then against Villa. But we talk about a settled side and, you know, goals coming from all over the pitch and delivery, and that's what Millwall hasn't been having, the service. You know, you can talk about our strikers not hitting the target, confidence. I mean, even in the Villa, the Forest game, I think Williams tried a shot after about 5 minutes, and, you know, that wasn't happening in weeks before.
We hit the woodwork up there, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
We had a touch of luck with Ferguson's goal. Let's get it right, because the shot was deflected. It was into the mix, and it's taken a boot and gone in.
He was hitting the corner flag.
But you've got to be having chances to create
luck. You've got to have a go. And if you fire it into that kind of zone, there's legs and bodies and arms, and it's going to go somewhere. So, you know, we got lucky there. And that was the moment where it was like, it's like an adolescent squeezing a spot, isn't it? And it explodes all over the mirror.
Burst.
Lovely. Like that's such a great image.
That kind of image, you know? It's like,
the season so far has reminded me a lot of last season. We had a sort of dodgy start last season until we found Ben Marshall sort of around Christmas time. The luck wasn't going with us. We were sort of playing really well away from home, and we weren't getting the results. And now, again, one Marshall coming, we found a balance, we found a settled squad, and we went
so
well.
So who's going to be that person? Come Christmas, who's going to be that person that's going to change it all up?
I'd like Ben Marshall to come back in January, personally.
Well, if he's
luck at the moment.
If he's available and if he wants to. I mean, he was certainly well thought of at the Den.
He fitted. It's about having that Millwall-type player. But I think Ferguson may have a run now. You've got Wallace.
Yeah.
That they are a good pairing. Good pairing. It's this back four. It's this settled back four.
He wants clean sheets, Neil Harris. He's talked about that. I mean, you've put a stat down, Nick, where Millwall didn't concede a second half league goal at home for the first time this season.
Yeah.
And Neil's talked about organisation, but he wants clean sheets. Everyone wants clean sheets. But in the Championship, let's be fair, you're going up against such varied teams. You're going to get up against teams who have a real, you know, brute set of strikers, you know, some big old lads, lummoxes who are going to go and going to attack. But you have some who are just going to be sheer technical.
I think
you know, it's really, really weird. Every week the challenge differs.
I think the thing is, when you miss a centre-half partnership like we have done all season, I mean, Hutchinson last season could have won Player of the Year. Cooper could have won Player of the Year. Meredith could have won Player of the Year. You don't have three out the back four that are in that bracket every single season. I mean, how many times last season did Meredith clear one off the line, get back and suddenly do that? And that hasn't been happening. Whereas we've been missing that leader. It's very hard for Jake Cooper to come in at sort of 20, 21 years of age and suddenly turn around and go, right, I'm the man in the back four. He's not that kind of man. He doesn't give me that kind of thing. He's a very good player, but whether or not he's got enough about himself to concentrate on anything other than his own game. So when Hutchinson comes back,
a big miss, no doubt. Hutchinson, huge miss for us, Nick. And you said partnership there, which is a good word. I don't think we've found that yet this season. And obviously the goalkeeper situation hasn't been settled. And I think if you're not scoring goals and you're leaking goals, you're in trouble.
The return of Hutchinson, he was playing today in the under-23 game.
He was.
Watford, I believe. I think he did 45 minutes, I think I saw somewhere. So that's a big step forwards. Sean Hutchinson, he's got a rugged look. He looks like an old-fashioned player. You look at his face, looks like that kind of... He could stick a 1930s shirt on him. He could have come from the pre-war era. He's got that kind of feeling to him. Yeah, hard organisational skills. And we've missed him badly. And I think, you know, the opening goal, just going back to Saturday, for a moment, the opening goal was soft. In real time, I owe Murray Wallace an apology. In real time, I pinned him. I pinned it on his account. I think probably it was Jake Cooper. So sorry, Murray, if you're listening to the show. I know you're listening out there. But the return of Hutchinson is going to be massive. That could be a turning point in the season. That's where, hopefully, our defence starts to tighten up regularly.
I think they're the best centre-half partnership outside the Premier League. I generally believe that.
Harry, what's in them sweets?
I just do. I don't think... Jake Cooper will not be at Millwall in two seasons' time. There is no way. There is no way.
If they're the best centre-half combination in the Championship, why have they not been
scouted already? They were scouted.
Brought in by somewhere else. Someone else with crazy money already.
Glasgow Rangers apparently wanted to
but
get...
they're not crazy money, Rangers. I think
£10 million for Millwall is a lot of money. And that's the rumour that was around, that £10 million, Millwall turned down £10 million for him.
That is a bold statement, Harry. I mean, they're a good partnership, but... You know, the Championship, like I said, it's the fifth most watched league in Europe. It's tough.
It is very, very tough.
They're a very good partnership. I'm not going to argue, Harry, over that. I like that phrase, actually. I'm going to stick with that. I always think
that because you play for Millwall, people underrate you.
Yes, you do. They do, yes.
And you've seen with Tim Cahill, you see it with Stephen Reid, Lucas Neal. All these players were underpaid for by their Premier League players.
But on that point, we're just going to go back to Ben Marshall, who obviously went to Norwich on great money. I don't blame him for taking the money.
He's playing at the moment.
He's not playing at the moment. That's the point. Jules Savile's gone to Middlesbrough. I don't know how he's doing. I'm not reading.
Oh, well, he's just been substituted for Northern Ireland. Now, you actually did rob my segue, but carry on.
I've nicked your segue.
Not segue as in like
one of those two-wheeled electrical.
Not a rascal.
Not a rascal. But you nicked my segue.
I stole Aaron's segue, listeners. But yeah, I don't know what he's doing for Middlesbrough. I'm not reading of, you know, rip-roaring accounts of his exploits up there on the Teesside. So I think going back to my point I'm driving at is with Hutchinson and Cooper and others, that Millwall is their theatre. That's many players think they're better than the Den. We can all think of other players that have been through our club, and yet somehow
they get lost in the system. Yeah, they leave. And
one that's occurring to me is Zach Whitbread a few years ago. Remember Zach?
Yeah.
He wanted to get away. Could not wait to get away from the Den because I think he had ideas that he could play at the top level, and lo and behold, he couldn't or didn't.
Delusions of grandeur.
James Henry. Grandeur.
I didn't pass French. We'll take a short pause and we'll come back with some more international scores. 10 or so minutes left in Croatia. It's still 0-0 between
Croatia.
It's
a thriller, listeners.
And England. It is a thriller. Jadon Sancho has come on for Raheem Sterling
as well.
So, Borussia Dortmund's former Man City starlet, Jadon Sancho, is on the field for England. We'll be back with some more scores next. Yeah, Marko Arnautović has given Austria the lead this evening. They lead Northern Ireland by a 0-0. George Savile has been substituted in that game. He made Millwall £8 million in the summer.
He did. Thank you
very much for that, George.
And gave us a good season previous season.
Yeah.
Let's not forget.
Switzerland have equalised away at Belgium.
Switzerland
won. Gavranovic with the goal for Switzerland. Come on, you Swiss. Greece won. Hungary 0 in England's group. Kostas Mitroglou.
Go on, you Maggies.
Fulham player.
Yeah, do you remember Mitroglou?
Yeah.
They spent £13 or £15 million on him. It's a record signing at the time.
Okay.
And yeah, they got relegated.
They did. Was that Felix Magath?
It was Felix Magath. Yeah, they signed him. I mean, I think he only played about ten games.
Felix Magath. He's that kind of big round glasses.
He looked like Penfold, yeah.
Penfold, exactly. He was actually at Fulham. Just like completely dressed down, and someone spotted him, going, "Oh, it's Felix Magath," and they started asking about cheese.
He put cheese on the knee, didn't he?
Brede Hangeland comes to him and goes, "Look, I've got a muscle problem." Not gonna make the game. No, don't worry. Go down to the physio, ask him for some cheese, and strap the cheese to your leg, and you'll be fine.
I used to remember in a press conference, he was sat there stirring his tea.
Felix Magath.
Yeah. just looking at these tea leaves, and I was like, we could be friends.
Did you just hear the theme of Danger Mouse going around your head the entire time?
Are you into, like, you know, reading tea leaves?
No, I just thought, great, what's going to happen next? It was a suspense. I was like, oh, what's in the tea? Can I have some?
Read your tea leaves.
It's some special tea the Argentinians have. It's legal, by the way. The look I just got was, you're not there too.
It's called what?
It's called mate. I've drunk it before in Argentina.
Thank you.
What about all this stuff that all the Americans drink now? Kombucha. Have you had a bit of that?
No.
The kombucha?
No, none of that.
Watch,
mate.
I promise you, this thing is going to take off.
What is it?
It's like some fermented tea. And I found out the other week, and
expect a Z-lister to be pushing it on your Instagram.
I'll tell you something. Yeah, basically, one of those people, they call themselves like a public figure or something like that. But I'll tell you something. My mum and my sister are drinking it in gallons, by the gallon. And apparently, it's got alcoholic content. So, yeah.
Kool-Aid. That's what it is. It's Kool-Aid. Remember the old religious wacko from Waco? He's had them all on the Kool-Aid.
The old Jonestown, right?
That's the Jonestown. That's
there you
it.
Go.
These references.
One for the older listeners there.
Pint of diesel for Harry any day of the week.
Pint of diesel.
Pint of diesel. Where are we going next? Yeah, combine harvester. Are we talking about Hutch? Because he's missed the last 8 games through injury. Of course, you know, one win in, what is it, 1-9, 1-10 now for Millwall. How big of a miss has he been?
Huge. I'd put down our soft and fragile defence completely down to the loss of Sean Hutchinson.
He was a cog, you know, he was leading the line. Big miss, and I feel we didn't replace him, but he's not far from coming back, and I can't wait for him to be back.
Yeah, it'll be nice to see Hutch back. We love a crunching challenge, and he's got that in it.
There was a tackle on Saturday, wasn't there? Someone was it?
Marlon
went in for one, didn't he?
And he caught it as well.
It was almost like goal had been scored because it was a crunching tackle. If you want to get to the half Millwall in one go, make a crunching tackle. You don't actually have to get the ball either. Just get in there.
The effort, the. But Marlon, similar to Ferguson, you know, he was out for ages, could not get back in the side.
Yeah.
Got the opportunity, came back in, scored a goal. He's kept his place.
That's it.
And that's, I think, the message that Neil is sending
General
out.
General lift in the squad mood. And the international break has come at an inopportune moment, whereas previously it's been quite opportune, not this week.
I was worried going into the international break, because I remember the last international break, was we going to get a win? It didn't come. Then this whole period has felt like such a long time. And I'm thinking, we're not going to get a win. We're not going to get a win. Do you think it would have been better not to have had the international break? Or are you glad it has come?
If we could have chosen, I would have wanted to carry on. We've got a good vibe going. This kind of kills it slightly. But next game is what? Reading away?
Yep.
And that's got to be
not
seen
an easy
as
place to go to. But one of the easier games in the Championship?
Well, it's got
Are
to
there
be.
Any easy games in
I mean,
the Championship?
I just don't know when they're going to make a change, because Paul Clement, I feel, is the guy's thieving a living. He has been for God knows how long. I mean, we had some fella come on this radio station. Yap Stam. To be fair, he was Stephen the living as well. Yeah. I love him, but he was. But Paul Clement, someone come on this radio station and talked about how, you know, he was a coach at Bayern, coach at PSG, coach at Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And they go, do you know what he did? I go, what? He goes, then you put the cones out, didn't he? I was just like, actually, to be fair, you've got a point, because it was Carlo Ancelotti who was doing the bizzo. But he was just the executive cone pusher. And let's be fair, in all the roles he's done, he was at Derby, money, didn't work. Swansea, money, didn't work out.
Mm.
And now he's at Reading. And they are a sinking ship. There are holes everywhere.
Steve Bruce would do well.
He would, you know.
We've got to go to Reading expecting to get 3 points.
100%.
I don't think we can settle for that. In the current mood, I mean, you know, I know that we've spoken about this kind of up and down kind of mentality we've got, but at the moment, given that we've rediscovered our mojo, we've found the mojo at last.
The formula. Is it the formula?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's the magic, you know, the essence of Millwall, and we've found it again. We've got to go there and we've got to get 3 points, because if we can get 3 points there, then we really can kickstart.
I'd be concerned if Millwall didn't get 3 points there, because Reading are absolutely horrendous.
You can't remember, Millwall do things in runs, don't they? We won't win in nine, and as soon as we get a sniff with momentum like the playoffs
Bang.
Last season.
So we're playing Reading at the right time.
Playoffs yeah. It is.
See, we would.
I still think we will. I had English money on us finishing the top six before we were kicked. Huh?
How much?
Well, it's in a treble, but the rest of the treble's coming in. It's just me all let me down at the moment.
Fair play. You never bet on your own. You never ever bet.
Moral
on
of the story.
Well, no, you bet against Millwall, and if we win, you're happy.
Well, there is that one.
Yeah.
So Reading's coming at the right time for Millwall. Do you know who actually went bottom of the table during the Villa game when we were trailing one? Yeah, at half time, we were bottom of the table.
But I want to mention, while we're on the subject, Ryan Leonard.
Yeah.
Because I think he's an improving presence in the team. I am expecting better things yet to come.
He's a Millwall type player.
He is a Millwall type player.
Committed. He's got pace.
He makes things happen.
Reads the game.
You know, I think, and he's improving. I mean, obviously, when you first come, we haven't mentioned Tom Elliott earlier on, but Neil Harris saying it takes time to get the grips of the Millwall style, and I'd say the same about Ryan Leonard as well. He's improving. He's starting to get the grips of the club. And I think in him we've made a good signing.
I do, actually. I think Leonard, from the first game, he had an impact, and he just seemed to know what to do, make things happen. He was in control, and I think he could be an engine in the middle of the park. Harry, what do you think?
I mean, I've got a mate who's a South End season ticket holder, and was absolutely devastated when he left last season. He thought he said basically he's a Premier League player in waiting. He could play in the Premier League. He's got the ability, the range of passing that he plays. All right, obviously he was watching him in a League One level, but when he's come up to us, the first game was against Leeds, who are supposedly this great, amazing side that are going to blitz the league. He didn't look out of place. He didn't get overawed. The assist last week, that quickness to do that and to snap it on, the ball was perfect. Yeah. The ball was over it one sort of half a mile per hour more. Gregory couldn't take that down in the stride that he was in. And it's that little bit of quality that we need. How many times do Mill not sign quality when we need to? And again, hats off to the recruitment team, because we work on the smallest budget. No. And to find these gems, we're doing a better job than everyone else, because we shouldn't be able to get these type of players.
Yeah,
on
they've
the budget
done,
that we've got.
100%, they've done very, 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 very well there. One player I think that Millwall should have gone for in the summer is Lyle Taylor, who's firing in goals left, right and centre at Charlton. And if he's gone to Charlton, he can't be on that good a contract, because they don't like spending money down there.
I mean, I suppose January looms for all of us, but I want to go back to Tom Elliott. I mean, to Lyle Taylor, I'll take that one.
John Marquez.
Scored some important goals for Millwall.
But I just want to mention Tom Elliott, because, I mean, he's been for a tough time, and Forrest, he looked the part. He looked the part on Saturday. The man who's growing into the role, as mentioned by Neil Harris. And I really hope, really want him to do well. I think he's finally finding his feet. He's got the physique, he's got the power. Occasionally his touch lets him down a little, but if he can develop a kind of a Morrison-esque presence up front, and we're starting to see that a little bit, then I think he's the man. You know, I think he could be the key to the season.
How much is confidence the key with strikers? That
massive.
Yeah, it's huge, isn't it? I was going to say, what about a run as well? Does he need a constant run of games? I mean, I've been reading John Parkins, but you know, a proper lower league centre forward, absolutely great book, by the way. And John's talked about how he went to a club and the manager's like, well, we want you to train. He's like, well, look, the only way I can get fit properly and the way I can get into my stride properly is if I play 3, 4, 5 games back to back to back, and that's how I will do things, because you just pick up, you know, your intuitions again. And I just wonder if Tom Elliott's a similar sort of thing. He works off that, you know, intuitive nature where he needs time to build up just those characteristics again.
And if you're getting slaughtered by the crowd every time you make an error, which, you know, let's be really honest, that's what we do, sadly. I think
that's what you need, that thick skin to be a Millwall player, that you shrug it off, that you know they're going to expect you to...
The skin of a crocodile at times, because even if you can do well, I mean, they'll still slaughter you, won't they? I heard it Saturday. I mean, someone having to pop at him. And I thought it was one of his better games.
How sweet as it is when they do find the back of the net, but... Harry?
I just think I haven't been Tom Elliott's greatest supporter, but I thought he'd done everything that I hadn't been seeing him do before the Nottingham Forest game, and suddenly it's switched. He's doing everything that I expect. All I ask is effort, and he never used to show effort for me. So now he's showing effort, I'm happy.
Switched on like a light. 9:37, this is Love Sport Radio. We'll be back with some of your full-time scores next. Yeah, it's finished. Croatia 0, England 0. Not the most entertaining of games. If you stayed in on your Friday night to watch that, then I'd realign your priorities in the future, potentially. It's finished. Austria 1, Northern Ireland 0. Northern Ireland going down to that goal by Marko Arnautovic. And Moldova have beaten San Marino by 2-0. An average possession count of 75% for Moldova.
That's a massive game for Moldova.
Impressive.
It's my come and get me plea to San Marino.
We all follow the Moldova overland and sea. Belarus 1, Luxembourg 0, Greece 1, Hungary 0, Estonia 0, Finland 1. And by the way, Romelu Lukaku has grabbed a second. Belgium 2, Switzerland 1. They are all in to the last knockings of added on time. There, so we'll have some full time results. By the way, in League 2, they're playing time.
Why?
It's Tranmere Rovers.
Tranmere, well, they're the traditionally Friday night side, aren't they? Tranmere, in back in the day, they're always playing on a Friday night.
What is that because of?
Because they were up against Liverpool or Everton. Next day, so they would play the Friday night, and many fans would go to Tranmere on the Friday and then to Anfield or to Goodison.
My cousin's a Tranmere fan.
I know my Liverpool, don't I?
Yeah, my cousin's a Tranmere fan.
Mrs. Hart, how are you?
Tranmere Rovers 1 at Macclesfield Town 0. By the way, there's some friendlies going on tonight as well. South Korea have beaten Uruguay.
Wow.
Shock.
By 2-1. Saudi Arabia 0, Brazil 2, Mexico 3, Costa Rica 2, USA 2, Colombia 4, Japan 3, Panama 0. Couldn't get 6 like us. And it's finished in the big one. The game of the day. Qatar 4, Ecuador 3. What a game.
7 goals.
Well, we can only hope the World Cup's like that.
Can you imagine the heat as
in
well?
The heat of Qatar.
Literally. Oh, not good. Not good. Anyway, let's crack on and talk out of contract players, because Neil Harris this week has said he isn't discussing out of contract players. Insisted.
No.
He's instead looking at, you know, the next two league games. Obviously, Lee Gregory is one of those players who is out of contract. What are your thoughts on the situation?
Lee Gregory, what a player. What a player.
What a story. What a journey.
Yeah.
Millwall through and through now. I think he...
Tom Bradshaw on the bench, and I can't see him starting in Lee's place. He doesn't want to give the shirt up. He won't give his starting place up.
And... obviously, Tom Bradshaw, one of our biggest financial signings,
ever.
Can't get a look in. So, a lot of fans are saying, why are we spending this money? Can't play. But Lee Gregory, his work ethic, you know, he... I would be surprised if we don't keep Lee. I think...
there's this urban myth, rumour, whatever you want to call it, that he wants to go back up north. There's a constant kind of thing, Lee will go back up north at some point. I don't know the truth of that. I don't know him. I have no input on that at all. But he's a player that, like we said earlier on, some players make their name, make their reputation at Millwall, and that's him. You know, I can't imagine him playing anywhere else particularly. He's just got that Millwall touch. And I just think it's a fantastic story. And he's playing so well this season, the work rate and the touch, the passing
really
ability.
Is. But of course, Championship, League One, it all depends on Millwall's fate. It's a very hard question to say, because if unfortunately it won't happen, we go to League One, it's a different game.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to have a big impact.
Come on,
positivity. What players do.
That's cheering.
You get 25 goals in League One.
That was right up.
I was all a buzz.
But of course we're
Sam's,
not going to go
Sam's
I'm usually this optimist.
Nice one, Sam.
What did I play last time? Nice. I was on The Only Way's Up.
Yeah, oh yeah.
See?
Big tune.
Yeah. But other out of contract players, we've got Steve Morrison. There's a decision.
Big Daddy Steve.
I would keep him personally for his presence and his
leadership.
His probable coaching role, I would guess, because he's not going to start so often. But
he's got a good business in George Clooney lookalikes as well. Down the southeast part,
I can see him coming off the bench. I mean, the kind of the impact player, where Cahill was last season to a degree. In his day, Wise used to come off the bench late when he was player managing.
Even Danny Shittu, I know he's a different sort of player, but
the influencer. The last 20 minutes when you need something and you're chasing a game, I can see that.
It's a crowd. You bring the crowd back into it, then you.
Neil Harris got into that role, didn't he? Towards the end of his playing career, coming off the bench. I think one of the other players actually is Shane Ferguson. He's out of contract.
He is indeed.
And originally, we were all calling for the taxi for Mr. Ferguson.
On those last two performances, do you think he's earned a new contract?
Yeah. He's certainly made a case. He's certainly made a case for himself, hasn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
It is hard. I mean, Millwall, unfortunately, like what happened with George Saville. It is a business. Football is a business, and we are a target to keep
hold
of our players.
We're not a business. We're a soap opera. We're a drama.
We are a drama.
Yeah.
We are a drama.
And we lurch from extreme to extreme, and Ferguson, one minute, they couldn't care less where he goes to. Two good performances, now he's renewing his contract.
You know, if you wrote it up for like a Game of Thrones type series, just with our Twitter, people wouldn't believe it, let alone sort of Millwall real life.
But who amongst us would have it any other way? I couldn't bear some beige, dreary kind of mid-table existence. Yeah. You know, you want this kind of depths of depression.
We've been to Wembley more times than anyone. The only good things about if this season doesn't go well is that we hopefully will be at Wembley again next season. You know, it is up
got
and down.
Got favourite blocks, favourite pubs now, favourite block of toilets. You know everything now. We've been there often.
How important is it to get the business done early, if possible?
Massively. It was this. I said it earlier on the show, I'll say it again, it didn't help the little clubs having two windows. It was a joke. The FA are a joke. There is no other word for them. They do not listen to the clubs other than the 20 that are in the Premier League. Hence why we only have Leeds on telly every week in the Sky Bet.
Oh no, but Leeds should be in their own little four-way mini-league, shouldn't they?
I've got a mate online now. I've got a new mate who wants to organise a breakaway EFL league for only the good clubs, which were Leeds, Norwich, Sheffield Wednesday, and one other, Middlesbrough.
All right, that, so
it's a, four, it's a 4-14 group, basically, Norwich, of good teams.
Nice. Where did they all finish last season? Were they below us, all of those teams?
We're in the Sunday Pub League.
All right, okay.
Apparently, Division 1, that's where we are, with the Rose and Crown and, you know...
Dog and
Duck. The Weatherspoons at Surrey Cars. Sorry, Ducks.
Well, you know, I'd agree with your sentiments about the FA. I mean, I've called out the FA many a time on radio and at football because some of the...
It didn't help us. I mean, you know, we had this kind of drama of George Saville, one minute we keep that he's going to go, and that was a bit of a crusher, and I don't think that helped the spirit of the club particularly, and I think we suffered from that a little bit, but now we're moving along, and yeah, we've got the January window to come. Maybe we might make some more signings, maybe the likes of Lyle Taylor, you know, you mentioned him earlier, Aaron, and
The only way I can see that happening is if they continue with this owner, Roland de Châtelet, and he continues the asset strip, he might force him out. He doesn't really care, let's be fair. And you know, Taylor's scoring goals. They've got some really good players down there. And you've got to give credit to Lee Bowyer. The guy, you know, you talk about managers going in to tough jobs in lower leagues. That's such a tough job. I mean, the guy doesn't even give any water to the academy players. He's like, what is going on?
He didn't sound very happy on Saturday. I had an interview with Lee Bowyer on Saturday. And I sort of had a little chuckle to myself because, you know, Leeds, West Ham, Charlton. It's quite nice, really, hearing them struggle. Because they never helped us, so, you know. Football's a dog-eat-dog world. You know, you're either doing well or you're doing terrible. There's no in-between with football. Especially Millwall.
Sam, you look shocked / perplexed.
I'm enjoying Harry's thoughts.
He's wise, you know.
Joe, you know, I haven't... It's the first time I met Harry tonight, and... I'm definitely going to have some of your speeds.
I'll tell you what, go on.
There's a tweet from Sean Crook here saying Tom Elliott deserves a run in the team. He shows a lot more in away games as he struggles to deal with the pressure of playing at the Den. Lendog 18, I don't know, Lendog 18 has been quality since coming in. Also, come on you Lions, Sean.
Good bit of work there, Sean. We're going to go for our final pause, and on the way back, you're going to be telling us about a theatre show that is happening. I think it's opening tonight.
Yes, darling.
It is opening.
I've got all lovey. Do you notice that?
Yeah, that's a bit weird. You know what, in the breaks we invent the most brilliant things, and we've just invented Ashton Millwall extra.
After dark,
this is going to be the 18
no holding
plus
back.
No hold back.
After dark,
have you done voiceovers before?
I may have.
You sound very familiar. We're gonna hopefully do an extra podcast. I'm actually quite looking forward to that. The thing is, you're so riled up. You're like, yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I can't concentrate on the last 8 minutes of this show.
Let's talk about Cold Blow Lane, the musical,
Let's
Aaron.
Do it.
Come on.
Do you like a musical, Nick?
I'm partial to a bit of Oliver and, Little Surrey with a Fringe on top. I know my little, like, 1950s musicals.
Well, today we were talking about Fiddler on the Roof.
Fiddler on the Roof. That's right, with Top Hole. I feel quite comfortable in my masculinity, and I think I like a bit of light musical.
No one was questioning that.
Singing in the Rain's good.
Singing in the Rain.
Tina the musical. Go and see it. It's great. But Cold Blow Lane.
Cold Blow Lane. Life is a Cabaret, Coldblow Lane. It's on at the Pie House, listeners, in Edwards Street, which I think is under the railway arches. I think it's like a small local theatre. It's a musical written by a young lady I met a few weeks ago called Annette Brooke. It's set in the 1980s. It's to do with the period in Millwall's history where we hit quite a low point. Anyone of that era will know what I'm talking about in terms of hooliganism. And, you know, the early 80s were, some will call them dark days, others will call them great days. And I make no comment on that, but the club kind of relaunched itself as a community club at that time, and we reached out to form the Lionesses, who were formed at that time. The musical is built around the Mill Lionesses and their days in the '80s. And there was also I remember there was a creche for kids next door to the old ground. There were programs to reach out to local kids, education, tackling knife crime, education on race and all the usual issues, elderly groups. It was the first club to actually go down the road of being a community club. What other clubs do now and call it, you know, we've seen Manchester City and doing their high gloss movie, and, you know, we were doing this in the 1980s as a reaction to those times. Kind of long story short, Annette's written a musical, a Millwall musical called Coldblow Lane. I wish I'd thought of this. I wish I'd done this. I'm insanely jealous of her for producing this. I would love to have done this. And it's on at the Matchstick Theatre, and the website for that is www.matchsticktheatre.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
.com. You can get your tickets. She's quite a personality. Music is set in the 80s. I think she's written the lyrics and a friend has composed the music. So it's music of its time. So you have a bit of ska, reggae, new romantic, I guess.
Do you know how long the run is?
I don't think it's terribly long. I think it's probably about a week max, because it's a small scale local theatre. It deserves support. I'm just going to read the blurb. It's set in New Cross in 1986. The musical tells the story of one team trying to deflect away from its infamous hooligan image. I don't know who that team is. While the other side of it fights for deserved recognition. And it's a Deptford Theatre, and just opened 2 months ago, and it runs two plays per month, so it can't be on for very long. I wouldn't have thought a week or so at the top. And the Millwall show is the first one that's apparently starting to sell out, so get your tickets whilst you can, listeners. It's a hot ticket.
Oh, I can't wait for that, Nick. I can't. Do you know what? I do love a football base, but I've missed out on so many.
I mean, that was deadpan, a bit like Nick's Nick's horse racing analogy last week, which I did hear, and it was something to behold. To be fair,
I think the sponsors pulled out after that little yeah. outburst.
More than likely, it's like contract cancelled.
Well, that sounds fab, and it's www.matchstick.com.
Yeah, matchsticktheatre.com.
I'm buzzing for it. Are you buzzing for it, Sam?
Yeah.
Are you buzzing for it, Harry?
Yeah.
And I just didn't know all that about the community, and I've learned loads.
The theatre manager, I'm going to put on a certain kind of voice, says it's definitely a bold choice, and whether people enjoy it will be decided next week.
No.
Very bold.
Nick.
I'm done. Can I just say, I've actually organised a studio next door for our first extra podcast.
Older listeners remember Julian and Sandy from the Navy Lark, I think they were
called. Look at your face! You're just like,
I'm thinking, who's Julia and who's Sandy?
This does happen from time to time. Forget that we're on the radio.
And on that note...
Right, on that note...
oh, it's a play-out. We're being played out.
Yeah, we are being played out. International break. Croatia nil, England nil. It's finished. Northern Ireland have lost in Austria. What are you doing this weekend?
Tomorrow. My daughter's coming round tomorrow, so we're going to be, family type stuff. Probably get a curry on takeaway. Watch the telly. The Strictly, there's big news on Strictly, isn't there? There's this couple of dancing.
Saturday's Strictly. A football, mate.
I know. Left arm.
Yeah.
Weird, doesn't it?
Yeah. Could go to no Millwall, no life.
Non-league. You could go non-league.
Go non-league.
Non-league.
Support your non-league. Thank you very much, Sam, Harry, Nick.
You're welcome.
Hopefully, you'll be following this by listening to our extra podcast, because do you know what? I'm buzzing to go next door, so go away. I'll see you on Monday.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.